27th verse.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Some Sadducees, those who say there is no resurrection, came to him and asked him a question. Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, leaving a wife but no children, the man shall marry the widow and raise up children for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first married and died childless. Then the second and the third married her, and so on, so in the same way all seven died childless. Finally, the woman also died in the resurrection. Therefore, whose wife will the woman be? For the seven had married her. Jesus said to them, those who belong to this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy of a place in that age and in the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. Indeed, they cannot die anymore because they are like angels and are children of God, being children of the resurrection. And the fact that the dead are raised, Moses himself showed in the story about the bush, where he speaks of the Lord as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now he is God, not of the dead, but of the living. For to him all of them are alive. And this is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Kind of confusing, right? Yeah, sometimes Jesus answers questions like that. But let's begin with this. I know that my Redeemer lives, and that at the end, he will stand upon the earth. That, Job said, in our first reading, we just heard. But we also have heard different things like, God is not dead. Actually, there's a movie called God is Not Dead. I don't know if there are like two movies. There is like God is Not Dead Part 2. Just in case you didn't get it the first time, there is a second one. God and life is a relationship that's really important. God and life, a relationship. But sometimes, and in spite of that, we live lives of death and not of life. Does that make any sense to you? Sometimes we live lives of death and not of life. We have been called, even by Scripture, we have been called to be children of I know it still is. Still isn't prepped. Levirate law was precisely what scripture is describing. If a man died before his wife could have children, if there was a brother or the second related to this man, the second person, the second man related to this man had to marry this person for a few reasons. First, because the widow, it was an act of mercy. Let's start with that. The widow without a man, a woman without a man, was basically dead. It was a death sentence. So it was mercy. It was taking care of the widow, as Leviticus says, taking care of the widow and the foreigner, the stranger. So this was that, taking care of the widow. But also, it was a way to keep the land and everything within the family, okay? So it served a few purposes. But also, it was to make sure that the man that died in the book had a legacy. His name was, would be in the book of the Jewish people, the descendants. So it was really important. It didn't matter if that kid was really biologically from his brother, it would be as if it were from this dead man, the man that was deceased. That was part of it. So it's an extreme consequence of levirate law after resurrection. A thing they didn't believe. Which raises a flag and lets you know that what they were really trying to do was trap Jesus. They wanted to see if Jesus would say something that would be against Jewish law or Jewish theology or against the Pharisees, which were the guardians of religion. You see, even before the crucifixion of Christ, even before that, resurrection was a subject. Because, like I said, Sadducees didn't believe in it, and Sadducees and Pharisees had opposing understandings on the subject of resurrection. But resurrection was a thing before Christianity. But instead of addressing the issue, the resurrection issue, to the point and direct, in a direct way, they try to reason it with him using this extreme case of levirate law. Who's gonna be? And at the end, the question that remains is, who's gonna be the owner of that woman at the resurrection? Who is gonna be the husband at the end? To what Jesus answers, why do you care? Why do you care? Even Moses agrees, God is a God of the living and not of the dead. Basically, that's what he says. Why do you care? God is a God of the living and not the dead. And then, going back to my previous comment, that we, as children of the resurrection, some We're paying for other people's health care. I've heard that many times. There is a crisis in our border, also many times. Or guess who's paying for that people's welfare? Should same-sex couples adopt kids? Again, as children of the resurrection, we're focusing on things that really don't matter. Jesus says, "Why do you care? God is the God of the living and not the dead." Brothers and sisters, when our Christian reasoning fails to address humanness, when this happens, commitment to nation states overrides fair treatment to all peoples. I'm going to say that again. When our Christian reasoning fails to address humanness, when that happens, commitment to nation states overrides fair treatment for all peoples. That's the way it is. And all peoples means all peoples. We even have it in our core values. All peoples. And that's what matters. That's what matters. Why do you care? God is a God of the living, not the dead. And being called to be children of resurrection means that the issue here should be, what does resurrection mean for us in the 21st century? What does resurrection mean for us? Now, as children of the resurrection, we ought to care more about others than of our own. Not even of ourselves, of our own. Because sometimes we're even, I don't know how to say this, tribalistic. Like our tribe comes first, our group comes first, and comes second, and come third, and if there's a fourth position, it also is like that. Sometimes we do that. What does resurrection mean? It means that we should live as if our relationships can expand, and we can become God's messengers and performers in the world. And we are doing that in a small capacity here as we do ministry. But that's just a little window. It has to be all children of the resurrection. And not only a ministry of our congregation, but also a ministry of every single children of the resurrection. That means each and every one of us. It's not because a few volunteers show up at Help Corner from our congregation or show up for different things that we have, that we are called. No, this is something that we do as a group, but also as children, as a child of the resurrection. And we are children of the resurrection, and therefore we are called to be what? We do it every Sunday. Send out. That's part of our liturgy. That's an important part of our liturgy. What is the thing that I say at the end of that one because I'm going to do it. We are sent out as children of the resurrection, and we are sent out because we are children of the resurrection. If God is the God of the living, we should be about things that bring life and not death. We should care and stop the selfishness. And selfishness can be so subtle. So ignored even by the person that's being selfish. It's part of us. But we should stop it. That's not something for the children of the resurrection. Resurrection is about selflessness. Resurrection, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, is about selflessness. It's about us embodying the life of the ones that we have lifted up. Just this Sunday, after All Saints Sunday, resurrection is about embodying the life of the ones that we have lifted up, the ones who have given, the ones who have done. It's about us living a life that actually shows there is a God. And that God takes care of the living and their trivial things, their daily things, their not important things. That you don't have to wait until you die. That you don't have to wait until the afterlife to enjoy grace and peace and to be able to see God. Because, yeah, it's hope, but what do we do while we wait? Does that mean that we're not going to get to enjoy peace and grace and see God until we're dead? Hoping. No. It means that our lives have to be in a way that everyone should be able to see God before they die. To be able to live out grace and peace. That's what God wants. That's what Jesus is talking about. Why do you care? God is a God of the living and not the dead. That is why, instead of saying, these are not matters of the church, therefore we're not dealing with them, instead of that, the church should take a stand. The church should fight and advocate for those who are suffering, regardless of what they are, what they were, where they come from, because we are children of the resurrection, and we embody the values of a kingdom that's for the living. I know that my Redeemer lives, and that at the last, he will stand upon the earth. That is believing that God is God of life and the living. So let us make sure who we are. And where do we stand as children of the resurrection? Let us be light in the midst of darkness. Life in the midst of death. And and salt in the midst of gladness. Because there is nothing more depressing than a good supper without any.